Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, January 5th. I'm Ray Graff. You thinking about buying or selling a home? Well, you are in luck. We have two real estate professionals in the studio with us today to answer your questions. Alexander Monticello of Monticello Real Estate and Renata Lewis of Keller Williams Capital District are waiting for your questions. So get in the queue right now. The number to call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or you can email the program, voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number, 800-348-2551. Now's the time to get in line. It's Real Estate Today. We kick it off after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Are you buying or selling a home or residential property? Well, if you've never done it before, and even if you have, it could be a daunting process. There are often a lot of steps involved, numerous factors to consider. We have two real estate professionals in the studio today to answer your questions about the process of buying and or selling a home. Alexander Monticello of Monticello Real Estate is here. He specializes in residential sales for buyers and sellers in the Capital Region. Alexander has been here before. A newcomer to this program, Renata Lewis, is with Keller Williams Capital District, also leads the Renata V. Lewis team. She is a go-to source for real estate industry insight and advice. Alexander and Renata, Happy New Year. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Thanks for having us.
Great to have you here this early in a, it's a chilly, cold day. Good day to sit inside in the warmth and talk about selling that house or buying that house. Our number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551, or you can email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, our number, 800-348-2551. This is the time of the year where if I was selling a home, I would not want to bother. But there's a certain, I saw, Renata, on some of your social media that there is a certain amount of counterintuitive wisdom to looking for a house now or selling that house now. And why is that?
Absolutely. Well, many people think that springtime is the way to go. That's where the most buyers are out there. The listings go on. It's the hype is there. It's springtime. Everybody's ready to move. However, if you think of putting the house on the market now or actually looking for one at the same time, you are in a position where you are marketing the home and driving the price because there isn't a lot of competition out there. There's always solid buyers out there. It's going to be fewer buyers, but the buyers that are out there are solid, ready to go, and they are making decisions quickly. So if you're thinking about selling and you're waiting for the spring market, you need to ask yourself why. Is it important? And if it's really the timing is not a big issue, talk to a realtor today and really discuss the price point and the values.
Can you make more money at this time of year, Alex?
You mean
if you're selling?
I think... It all depends. I think statistically, you'll see that homes sell generally for a higher median sale price in April, May, and June, mm-hmm. Just because there's more buyers, there's more competition. But, you know, Renata's right. Actually, inventory is quite low right now. If the latest numbers are, I think that inventory is down by about 30% from the same month 12 months ago.
Why would that be?
Well, I think, part of it has to do with the markets picking up. There's a lot more buyer activity. Interest rates have jumped in the last 30, 45 days. So more buyers are jumping into the market. And I don't think the sellers have responded yet to that increased demand. I think they're starting to. And I think January, we're going to see more inventory coming on. But Renata's right. I think because inventory is so low right now, this is really, if you have a quality listing, this is the time to really put it up.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. This is Vox Pop. We talk real estate, maybe every 6 months or so, and today is the day. Alexander Monticello and Renata Lewis with us today, and the email address is voxpop@wamc.org. You know, in the newsroom, one of the contact sports is complaining about things, and one of the news anchors was complaining about and asking, how do you get comparables? When you're pricing, when you're valuing a home, how are you getting the comparables, say, in a neighborhood? Tell us, walk us through that.
Well, you do need to contact a professional. I mean, there's ways out there on the internet. You can look at Zillow, Realtor.com, Trulia. Those aren't always accurate. you really need to focus on what has sold and focus on the MLS listings more so because they are more accurate.
So you wouldn't be looking at the tax rolls. You'd be looking at what has sold for what.
Yes. And really it's comparing, speaking to a professional, comparing it as far as the condition, the location, the improvements. You could be the exact same house. It could be your next door neighbor, but the values could be very, very different.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. The lines are loading up here. Let's take a call. Seth in Saratoga. Seth, you are first.
Yes, sir. How is everyone doing today?
Tolerably well. How about you?
Doing pretty dapper, if I could say.
Well, all right. Well, you're first. Go ahead.
All right. So I may be coming into a trust fund in the next year or so. So my options are pretty much open to either doing a refab house or a hard shell, as they say. Also, maybe into just buying a new build. I could see the benefits of doing both. But the question is, how much should be invested into the loan instead of investing all of it into the loan to having a smaller build?
Isn't this a question for a financial planner and not a real estate person? I'm not sure about this.
The thing is, I don't know with real estate, I don't know which is better, to buy a home that is in need of attention or in need of repairs instead of buying a house that's fully rebuilt, or the best way to tackle getting into the home, say if you're a first buyer like me, I'm clueless.
Okay. All right. So buy a fixer-upper or buy one that's ready to rock? Panel?
Well, I think I always recommend, even before you think about whether you're buying a fixer-upper or a new build, talk to a mortgage professional, figure out, you know, what kind of monthly budget you want, how much cash you have to put down, what kind of mortgage and interest rate you can qualify for. I always think that's a good first step. Obviously, if you're buying a rehab property, you're going to need to have a lot of cash to pay for the work. There are some loans out there that can offer you some rehab loans, but go to your local bank, talk to a mortgage professional, and that's a good starting spot.
And if you are into some cash as far as the investment that or the trust that you're accruing or getting, it's a question for you whether or not you're ready for a big project. Do you have the time to do it? Do you have the contractors to work with? Who do you trust? Because getting into a new construction or a rehab home, a lot of people tend to get over their heads.
Yeah.
So
if you're looking for a rehab
home,
you can look at my house.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun, but I always tell everybody to budget at least 30% more than you think you're going to spend, because you're easily going to get there.
I like that theory. That's very. I wish I had known that a long time ago. Carlin in Saratoga. Carlin, you're next.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My husband and I move a good bit, and we moved here from Southern California, and staging is a pretty well-established kind of a thing to do in California, and I found that most of the houses that we looked at locally just weren't staged at all. I understand that staging is an expense that you can deduct in New York State, if a realtor is willing, they could fold it into the advertising bucks or promoting the house. Could you speak to that?
And first of all, tell us what staging is.
Staging is bringing...
Oh, sure.
We'll ask Renata.
Okay, thanks. Okay. Staging is bringing in a professional that can come in and bring furniture and accessorize the home so it shows beautifully for pictures, for the buyers, for the showings. I would say percentage-wise, it's pretty high. I'd say about 18%. As far as getting a little bit more for your house once it's staged.
Really?
I think that's where the numbers are.
Interesting. So,
and I sold in Long Island before I moved upstate, and we did a lot of staging there. And it was a common thing. It was part of the marketing package that the realtors would offer. So it was just a given thing. Upstate, not so much so. It's really not a marketing tool that we use as much.
It's tough to stage if you're still living in the house.
Exactly. So what I do is I actually go in and I help the sellers stage together. So we pull out, you know, bigger items. We pull out things that maybe cluttering the house, you know, putting in some pretty pillows for pictures. So it's just a ploy for marketing that helps us in the sale.
Yeah, in my experience, staging is really good for the seller because, I mean, it sells the home far more quickly. And I also understand, maybe you can confirm or deny this, that it is tax deductible in New York State.
I believe it is.
Is that correct?
I believe it is.
You better check, though, before you write it off.
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Alex,
well, that's what I've read. Thank you.
Well, thanks a lot for the call. Staging, though, I mean, we put a couple pillows out. Why do you need to have an expert do that, right?
You know, it's every home that you look at, it's you really want it to present it beautifully so you do get top market value for the house. And staging, marketing, it's all part of it. So if you are ready to sell, really look at the house closely. You're moving anyway. Put away the items that are not important that may be distracting to buyers that are viewing the home and get yourself a little bit more money.
In general, Alex, less is more when showing a house. You don't want to have a lot of clutter in there.
I agree.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. 800-348-2551. It's the Real Estate Show, and what fun we're having. Alexander Monticello, Renata Lewis here, and Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Interim Healthcare. Celebrating 45 years of in-home care, supports the Mohawk Hudson Land Conservancy's 17 Capital Region Preserves, hiking and outdoor activities, interimhealthcare.com. Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York. Specializing in distinctive eyewear, including Zenka from Paris and Coco Song from Italy, eye exams by appointment, 518-459-2638. Mango Tree Imports, a global fair trade shop in downtown Saratoga Springs, New York, featuring artisan goods from more than 60 countries. MangoTreeImports.com and Facebook. Fort Hill Auto Body, Amherst, Massachusetts. Locally owned and operated since 1997, providing auto body repair, detailing, painting, and glass replacement, a proud supporter of public radio. FortHillAutoBody.com. And Interactive Media Consultants, LLC. Celebrating 20 years of providing websites, branding, social media, and digital marketing to the Capital Region and beyond. iMediaConsult.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551, the telephone number. Ray Graff here. It's Real Estate Today on the program with Renata Lewis and Alexander Monticello. And this one came in via email at voxpop@wamc.org, who says, could you please discuss how much radiant heat increases the value of a home? Radiant heat.
Good question.
Don't jump at once.
I'm not sure it does increase the value. We have radiant heat in our home.
Floor heat, right?
Yeah, radiant floor heat. I'm not sure it increases it all that much. I think the buyer is going to be looking at a lot of things. I think if you have a unique home and it's well maintained and the kitchen and the bathrooms are updated and it has radiant heat, I think that's a positive. But if you have a home and you're thinking about adding radiant heat because you think it's going to add value, I'm not sure I would do
it.
You know, I would do it because you think it makes sense and you want to be comfortable in the space.
All right, but definitely have some kind of heat.
Yeah.
That's the way
heat
I would say it.
Heat adds value.
Heat more of a bonus value than anything else.
All right, over to David in New Paltz. David, you're on.
Hi, Ray. Thanks for doing a good job there.
Thank you.
My question is, my neighbors have been selling their houses online. Their houses have been on the market for sometimes years. And when they put them online, they sold them right away for a good price.
Well, like eBay or Craigslist? What are we talking about here?
Well, that's why I'm asking the professional. Which one do they recommend?
All right, I'll stay out of it.
Let's see. Well, I mean, you do have... I would never recommend this. However, there is Zillow. There is... There's
I actually recommend putting it on every website online. I think the way to maximize the price for your home and to maximize the exposure is to list it in as many websites as possible. There are now a lot of resources. If you hire a realtor and the realtor puts it in the MLS, they also can feed it into 75 other websites.
It automatically feeds, right? Yeah. When you have a realtor and they list it?
Yeah, actually that's what we do, right. Yep. Obviously the big ones are Zillow, Trulia, Realtor.com. That's probably 85 to 90% of the buyer traffic. You need to have it listed there just to make sure buyers see it.
Right.
But certainly putting it online is important, but I also think not only putting it online, but making sure that it looks pretty online, so having professional photos.
Okay.
Well said.
Thanks, David. We appreciate it. The number is 800-348-2551. Bill in Niskayuna. Bill, you're on.
Hi. We have a pretty good horizon for selling our home, about 9 years. And about 4 years ago, it was a $50,000 upgrade, so a lot of positives. The kitchen, the downstairs area is done nicely. The two bathrooms have been half done. On the negative side, it is an old house, 1912 it was built, so there is literally no heat on the second floor, and the bedroom's up there a little bit small. It also needs a deck. What do you think I should focus on over the next 9 years to make it more saleable?
Okay.
Well, I think the heat is important.
Heat would be good.
Yes, yes. And that will also qualify for different, it will help with qualifying for different loans. You try to sell this to an FHA buyer, they're not going to approve it if there's no heat.
Bill, how do you not have heat on the second floor?
Well, this house has been that way for over 100 years, and actually we did get an FHA loan.
Interesting.
On the house when we bought it.
But Renata's right. If the appraiser comes in and notices that the upstairs doesn't have heat, they won't count that in the livable square footage. So adding heat to that square footage will increase
the
value.
And what's the cheapest way to do that? Electric baseboard heat?
Yep. It's about $50 to $100 per board, plus the electrical. But just so it's there, you don't have to use it on a daily basis. But if you are doing the improvements, that's definitely one of the ones that you should concentrate on. And it seems like you've done well with the kitchen. Kitchen and bathroom sell, so definitely finish up those bathrooms, make them look beautiful. And really just, how old is the roof? How old is your furnace? The mechanicals count. Windows, or have they been replaced? Just keeping the house energy efficient is a big sell this day as well.
Let's go to Lee in Albany. Lee, you're on.
Good afternoon. Thank you. I'm considering purchasing a 3-season camp, and I've been told that financing a 3-season home is different than financing a year-round home, and I was hoping to get your advice about that.
Yeah, that's correct. I don't actually have a lot of experience with buying. It's not winterized? Is that?
It is not. Okay. It is not currently winterized. Nope.
Yeah. So the loans are going to be a little different. I don't have any experience with it. I would recommend speaking with a local mortgage banker or broker. A mortgage broker is probably going to have more options than a local bank.
Okay.
But I don't know if Renata has any experience with it.
I do agree with that. I sold a small cottage in Lake George last year that was only a 3-season, so the heat and everything was churned off during the winter time. And the buyer had to put a substantial amount down before we found somebody that would finance it. So there is a way to finance it. I think you need a little bit more cash flow, liquid money to do it, unless you had full cash for it.
Yeah, so you might be looking at maybe 20 to 30% down versus 5 or 10%.
I'm curious as to what the rationale from a banker standpoint is about not offering as attractive a mortgage on a 3-season home as it would on a 4-season home.
I think it's the risk when you're winterizing it in the wintertime. if for some reason something happens.
Well, things happen all the time with every house.
I know, but it's, again, it's the banks. They're short of asking us our blood types this day and age. So they really are protecting themselves. The higher the risk, the less they want to lend. So you need to come up with a little bit more cash flow.
All right, Lee, I hope that helps you. Thank you very much. Our guest today, Renata Lewis and also Alexander Monticello. It's the Real Estate Program, 800-348-2551. Brian in Niskayuna. Brian, you're on.
Hey, how are you? Good. I had a quick question. We're looking to buy a vacation home in Vermont, a family friend. And the two questions I have are, with the increase of interest rates from the Fed predicted to come, you know, 3 rate increases next year, is there a model or something that would tell us what the increase on mortgage rates would be in the future?
Based on past experience.
If we had a crystal ball,
we
would all be doing great.
But is there an X percentage above what the Fed raises?
In other
words, can we predict, based on if the Fed goes up a half a point, what the mortgage rates will go up?
You know, I think the big jump in, and well, the answer is probably no, because if you look at what happened the last 30 to 45 days, rates have jumped 3/4 of a point, you know, and the Fed just raised it by a quarter. If you look at the last time the Fed raised interest rates, which was about 12 months ago, they raised it a quarter, and then 30 days later, mortgage rates actually went down.
Interesting.
Partly because it was already baked in. So I unfortunately know, but I think the professionals out there are all indicating that they think rates are going to rise probably over the next 12 months, 3/4 to a point.
Okay. Well, thanks, Brian. We appreciate the call. So if you have a locked-in mortgage, now aren't some FHA mortgages transferable?
No.
I thought there were some mortgages that were transferable interest rates, so that would make your house more sellable.
I think a VA loan is transfer, right? So you can, if you have a VA loan and you have a very attractive interest rate, it could be assumed by the next buyer. But I don't believe FHA is assumable.
Our guest today is Alexander Monticello, also Renata Lewis. We talk real estate on Vox Pop, and the number is 800-348-2551. Yvonne in Sullivan County, you're on.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm retired and getting on in years, so I'm thinking of selling my house in Sullivan. I started looking at co-ops and condos, so the question is, do I ask the real estate agent to come and give me a price range of what this house would sell for, even though I'm not ready to move, or once I find a place and I won't have the money to put down, do I have then a real estate agent come in, and then I don't know when it's going to sell, so it's kind of a quandary.
I think the timing is very important, and my suggestion is always to contact a realtor first, get an idea of what the home is worth, and listing it should be your initial move. You as a seller, you have the choice to put a contingency in the contract that allows you time to find a home of choice before you actually close on the home. So you can leverage that and, you know, figure out what you're going to be getting out of the home before you make a decision on a new condo or a townhome. And I think that's a really great strategy. And, at that point, I think the time frame will fall into place for you as well.
Thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, and happy new year. Over to Ellen in Montgomery, Massachusetts. Ellen, you're on.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I'm asking the realtors how or what they think about independently trying to sell your home, maybe for like 6 months.
Gee, that's a loaded question for a realtor, right? All right, let's see what they say.
It is.
See if I can predict.
I am talking to some people that have done it, especially right now. The market's pretty good. What are the pitfalls? And what type of lawyer would you suggest, or do you say just keep out of it?
Well, okay. Let's try to be objective here.
Okay, let's do it. So, well, first of all, lawyer, you will definitely need a good lawyer if you're going to be doing it on your own, and 100% find somebody that does real estate. Because anybody else, they're going to be too busy, they're not going to be getting back to you, and you're going to find complications that will come into play. Secondly, when you go it at your by yourself, it's really not the marketing and the selling part. It's holding the contract together from the day you find and secure the buyer until closing time.
Which can be a while.
It could be. It's 4 to 6 to 8 weeks, depending on the loan. And you have inspections to be concerned about. You have appraisal to be concerned about. You have various negotiations that could still come into play. So really, it's contract to closing is the biggest concern and the biggest challenge to really try on your own.
Well, that's another question is, even with a realtor, I've heard of buyers backing out like days before the closing. How do you avoid that? Or do you have some kind of contingency plan in your contract?
Well, in New York, yeah, we use a standard form contract here, and there's a couple ways. I mean, the contract is what actually legally binds the buyer to the purchase. It's not that there is no contract that I'm aware of that once all the contingencies are satisfied, that the buyer has a legal way to back out. You know, a few days before closing.
They do.
What's that?
They do have a legal way?
No, do not have a legal way.
Now, remember, Ellen is in Massachusetts, so laws may...
Massachusetts.
Yeah, laws may change.
And actually, Vermont. This is what happened to somebody they know in Vermont.
Now, it's possible there is scenarios where buyers back out, right, and you then take their deposit, which is the collateral that the seller holds, and you have a legal right to sue that buyer, but in all practicality, you don't do it because it takes too much time and effort, and you're better off just taking the deposit and relisting. So one of the things that you can do to protect yourself as a seller is secure, maybe a larger good faith deposit on the front end. It won't protect you completely, but at least you have some collateral if they disappear.
All right, Ellen?
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. But what about when something comes up unknown to both the seller and the buyer? For instance, you're buying an old home, it's natural gas, but they're unbeknownst to anyone until you do an inspection, there's an oil tank buried.
Well, yeah, right. So there is, in the contract, there's three major contingencies, and during that period, the buyer may be able to cancel legally and get the deposit back. So the first contingency that we have here is called the attorney review, which is the three business days of the first three business days of the contract. Either party can essentially cancel for any reason. Once the attorney review closes, then you have the inspection period, which is typically the first 14 days. During that period, if the buyer discovers there's a defect that's going to cost more than $1,500, they can cancel and walk away. Mm. Once that period closes, however, the only other option for the buyer to essentially cancel is if they're unable to secure their mortgage.
Yeah.
But one of the things that we do as a realtor is on the front end is when we get an offer, we also confirm, and any seller should do this, that the buyer is pre-qualified from a local reputable institution. I even pick up the phone and call the loan officer at the bank, wherever this person is pre-qualified, and I have a conversation with that loan officer just to confirm that they did what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So there's ways to mitigate it. Obviously, you can't prevent everything from happening.
And just to add to that, I mean, if there is a major at an inspection, it doesn't mean that the buyer has to walk away.
Right.
You as a seller and a buyer can negotiate and make things right, whether it's the seller taking care of the situation or the problem or the issue, or the buyer deciding that they want to do it because the seller might not be able to afford it. Yes, it's a hiccup, but it's something that could be negotiated and worked out so you can move forward.
And a fairly common occurrence in your line of work?
Yes, very much so.
The number is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Renata Lewis and Alexander Monticello, and we talk real estate on Vox Pop this afternoon. Jen in Amenia. Jen, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question is it best to increase your square footage in your existing home or to sell it and buy bigger?
Love this question.
Let's see. Well, I guess location is a big question for me. Where are you located?
I'm in Amenia, and I'd really love to stay on my property because it's perfectly placed. I have an acre. It's really cozy and comfortable and nice to grow family, but I need more space because I want to grow my family more. And I was told it's best to wait 5 years and then sell and buy bigger, but I just don't know why that is or if that's even best.
Okay.
if you could find a bigger home that is something that you can budget for and mm-hmm. feel that you're going to be happy in that location, then that's mm-hmm. probably the way to go. However, if okay. you feel that you love the neighborhood and you're mm-hmm. not going to outprice yourself from the market, you don't want to be the biggest and the best home on the street. So if there
I agree. I don't want big, you know?
Yeah.
It's so a little bit better.
Yeah, if there is room to expand, if there is room to give you an extra room or even an upstairs room above it, and you're still going to stay within the market value means of that neighborhood, you know, I feel it's still important to remember it's home, and that's where you build your memories, and if that's where your heart is, do it.
Yeah, sounds like it's where the heart is and where it's going to stay.
Yeah.
Good for you, Jen. Well, thank you for the call, and happy
like
New Year.
Sell it.
Over to Molly in Valley Falls. Molly, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So my husband and I bought a house less than 2 years ago, but we've decided we want to relocate to Vermont. I wanted to know if there were any legal ramifications if you sell before 2 years, and it's a big old Greek revival. So any tips on staging or getting it ready to sell for a young couple?
Greek revival, eh? Okay.
You know, I'm not, unless you qualified, got some sort of grant, you know, when you purchase the home, there shouldn't be any sort of restriction on your ability to sell it within 2 years of your purchase. That happens. So I'm not aware of any restriction. As far as staging, there was a call earlier, and then we were talking offline. Renata was talking about there are some online websites where you can actually do some online staging.
So virtual staging.
Virtual staging.
Yes.
Staging.
It's pretty
property.
Cool. It's fun.
But that's probably more designed if you had empty rooms. It's really the virtual staging is really ideal if you have empty rooms. If you don't, it can't hurt to get a person in the house, a real estate professional, or somebody who has a good eye for design in the house, have them walk through. Tell them your feelings won't be hurt, and let them be honest and take their recommendations to heart.
There you go. Molly, thank you for the call. I mean, you know, it's a Greek revival, so you wear a tunic, you walk around, you show the house with some fig leaves on. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. It's Vox Pop. The home stretch is straight ahead with Renata Lewis and Alexander Monticello, and your calls coming up.
Support for WMC comes from Lerac, serving the arts community year-round in downtown Glens Falls since 1972, with gallery exhibits and gift shop featuring handmade items by regional artists, larac.org. Stavros, helping people with disabilities achieve their dreams, offices in Amherst, Greenfield, and Springfield, stavros.org for more information. Agricultural Stewardship Association, helping people conserve farmland in the Upper Hudson Valley. We conserve good farmland for good forever. agstewardship.org. And Real Seafood Company, Wolf Road Colony, locally owned seafood restaurant and raw bar, realseafoodco.com.
Okay, well, we're still in the New Year's sort of mood here, talking about doing shots with the realtors. This show is working out. It is Vox Pop. It is a real estate edition with Ray Graff. The number is 800-348-2551. And before we get back to the home stretch of calls with Renata Lewis and Alexander Monticello, here are a couple of emails that just came in. This one is from Christopher, who says, I have a solar panel that I have solar panels that cover the entire electric bill, 1,200 kilowatt hours each month. I own the entire solar system. Does this increase the value of my home? He owns it.
If you own it, you did a really great job with that, because the biggest issue with the solar panels that I found in selling resale or any home at this point is when it's leased.
Yeah.
Because really nobody wants to take over somebody else's lease. It's the same thing as buying a four-family home. You're taking over those leases. So will it increase the value of the home? I think it's a bonus feature. I don't think it's necessarily a big upgrade in the value. Alex?
Yeah, and I'd say also, if you own the panels, you know, I guess if a buyer really didn't want them, they still have value to you.
Well, that's a point.
You can sell the panels with you.
Oh, that's true.
That's true.
All right, this one came in from Wes. I am looking to list our house for sale. One realtor suggested a listing price of $359,000, as that was the actual sale price of a same home in a different town. An appraiser listed the home for $340,000. The home has about $85,000 worth of improvements, including a new kitchen recently. Suggestions on what we should initially list the home for? Well, it's tough without seeing it, but go ahead. Have at it.
I don't know. I guess if you've gotten two opinions, maybe you get a third and then you take the average. The other option is you can always start high. And I tell people, you'll know in the first 15 to 20 days if you've priced
it right. Yeah.
If nobody's coming through or you've had 10 showings in the first 20 days and all 10 people tell you the price is too high, you've got to listen to the market.
And when you're selling it, and if you are trying to shoot a little bit higher, just make sure that full disclosure is displayed. Let them know exactly how much money you've spent on that kitchen, on the upgrades, because some buyers may think it's a $5,000 upgrade where it actually did cost you $10,000, $15,000.
But ultimately, if you don't have a very good business sense and you sink $50,000 into an upgrade that is worth $6,000,
right,
it's not going to get you the money when you're selling the house.
Exactly.
It is the Real Estate Program, 800-348-2551. Renata Lewis and Alexander Monticello. Let's see, who's been waiting the longest? Oh, my eyesight, it's falling apart. Victoria in Glenville. Victoria, you're on.
Hi, I'm also a local real estate broker, and I just wanted to follow up on the idea of an FHA loan being assumable.
Yeah.
Generally, FHA loans are assumable. The caveat with that is that the new buyer has to qualify.
Ah.
And typically, you also need to be able to provide the difference in cash. So say there's, you know, $150,000 left on the loan and the purchase price is $200,000, the buyer usually needs to make up that $50,000 difference or get another loan.
Interesting.
Somehow.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
So it's not always as simple as it's assumable, but FHA loans definitely are assumable.
Very good. Well, Victoria, thanks so much for that clarification. Over to Danny. Danny in New Windsor, you're on.
Thank you for taking my call. Hey, I'm looking to buy a property in Newburgh. It's a small apartment building. I'd like to know tax-wise and rights-wise, what sort of rights do people have when they are, in the house, in the apartment, and say they don't want to pay the rent anymore and all that? And what sort of tax advantages would you recommend that I look at to see if I should buy or shouldn't buy?
Okay. Again, a financial planner question, but let's go for it, realtors.
All right. Well, you got to calculate the return on investment. You know, what are the rents? What are the expenses? What is the maintenance? Taxes, all of that come into play. I believe if that equals out to be at least at 10% or more, then it's a good investment option. As far as the land.
And what about people? Yeah.
I'm sorry?
What about people just staying there, not paying their rent? Should that go on forever? I mean,
it can. Obviously, you can force them out by legal, what is it called?
Eviction notice?
Eviction, thank you. I couldn't think of the word. But being a landlord, you have less rights than the tenants. So you do have to make sure that your leases are very particular. They're very specific. You should always have a lease because that does give you some leverage over who's there and what they pay and what happens. And then you do have a little extra leverage in the eviction, thank you, when the time comes.
Danny, thanks a lot for that one. And over to Marianne in Germantown. Marianne, you're on.
Well, I was just surprised over the issue with no heat on the second floor.
Yeah.
Most old houses don't have heat on the second floor. They have holes in the floor ceiling and forced hot air.
Yes.
So the second floor is always nice and cozy. I have yet to experience anyone, including myself, having a problem getting a mortgage. So I was just very surprised over that statement.
Splendid. So there is heat. It's in my mom's old house in Central New York had the same thing.
There are no units.
Yeah.
There are no units whatsoever on the second floor.
Yeah.
It's only by forced hot air that you get heat up to the second floor.
And it does work.
You have to install heat unit on the second floor is simply not true.
Okay, well, splendid, Marianne. Thank you so much for that. And over to line seven. It's Jill in Berkshire County. Jill, you're on.
Hi. I have a question about putting in a bathtub in a second bathroom.
Okay.
I've read that not many people put in bathtubs anymore. We have one on our second floor. Our main bathroom needs to be redone, and I would prefer just to put a stall shower in.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, a glass stall shower, I was wondering what your guests thought about that.
As long as there's one bathtub in the house, go with the shower.
Right. You need to make gin somewhere, right?
Yes, yes. And, you know, even new construction at this point is, you know, master bathrooms are putting in massive, big showers. The jet tubs are completely passe. Not all.
Jet tubs are passe? I never even got one yet.
They're done.
Oh, no.
And it's not for everybody. Listen, everybody has their own different opinions and likes and dislikes. But overall, as long as there's one bathtub, you're not going to hurt the value of the house.
Thank you. I've also been reading that I live in a bit of an aging community, and that a bathtub is hard for older people to get in and out of,
yeah.
And yes. That a shower is easier anyway.
Right. And for resale-wise, when you are ready to resell, if it is a younger family that's buying it, they do want at least one bathtub to give the kids baths.
That's a good point.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Hey,
you're
Jill,
welcome.
Thanks a lot. This one came in from Rick via email, who was wondering your opinion of refinishing pine floors on the first floor, easily dented, or install hardwood floors on the first floor and leave the pine floors on the second floor as is.
Gosh, I think if you wanted to maintain some of the historic character, you'd probably just refinish the pine as is.
All right.
It might even be cheaper than installing new hardwood.
And I would run pine everywhere else so it all matches.
Well, there you go. All right, let's go to Irene in New Paltz. Irene, you're on.
Yes, the situation is needing to sell a house to settle an estate. It's definitely a rehab house. The location is good, but the roof leaks, so there's damage inside, including mold. I didn't think that realtors would even want to list this type of property, so if you comment on that and what would be advantage or disadvantage of going to a realtor rather than one of these companies that buys any house, any condition for cash?
Okay.
Well, I think you might get a better price if you work with a realtor. The reason being is that the cash buyers, they're wholesalers, right? So they're going to try to get it for as cheap as possible so that they can have as much margin when they rehab it and resell it. But do you have the ability to stop the leaky roof?
Oh, yes, that's fixed already.
Okay. And then what about mitigating the mold? Because now,
I'm not going to deal with that.
Okay. Well, you fixed the roof, so it won't get worse, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think I'd probably
would the realtors accept this kind of property as a listing?
You could sell it as is.
Yeah,
right?
They would sell it as is. That you disclose the problems with it. I mean, everything sells for a price, you know. But I think if you list it with a realtor, right? That realtor will be able to broadcast it to the widest possible market. If you're selling it to a wholesaler, you're just negotiating with one buyer at one time. So you're not getting the full market's exposure. If you list it with a realtor, that wholesaler still has an opportunity to buy it if they want it, or make an offer at least.
You make a point.
And the realtor is going to help you market it so you're bringing in the right buyer with the right financing. Because there are loans, 203K loans, rehab loans, that will be available to a buyer that's going to help them take care of all the issues that the house has.
All right, Irene, thanks a lot for that one. And, I hit the wrong button. Boy, I'm a bonehead. Let's go to Jason in Great Barrington. Jason, you're on.
Yes, my question specifically has to do with well water. And first off, the distance between the actual well and the road, is there a distance that you need to be concerned about getting runoff from salt living in the East Coast with the winters? And also testing the water, if you're about to purchase or you're involved in a contract and a piece of real estate, who's responsible and how does that work? And how do you control if the homeowner's responsible, how do you know that they're not just pouring Perrier into your test tubes? In other words, how is that done?
Well, that would be illegal, right? That would be fraud.
Yeah. Well, so, I'm saying that to illustrate, I'm exaggerating to illustrate a point,
okay.
But in other words, you
right.
know.
I always recommend when I represent the client, if I'm the buyer, representing the buyer, I tell them you pay for the test because you can control the process.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't know if to do a water test might be $75 to $150. And I think it's completely worth it for the buyer to do it so they know exactly what's going on. Hire a professional that's working on behalf of the buyer to take that test sample. As far as the location goes, I'm not aware. Are you drilling a new well or is the well already in place?
No, this is an existing well on a property that the well is probably put in the 50s.
Yeah.
But the question is that you? I thought you could just actually either myself or the homeowner could take from a lab, like there's a local lab.
Well,
you can bring them samples as opposed to hiring somebody to come to the structure and do. I didn't even know that was a possibility of having somebody come. To the structure, a third party, and do that.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I recommend getting a home inspection all the time before you buy any house, and you hire a professional. They'll be able to assess the well, the location. Not to mention, there probably might be other things in the house that you might want looked at.
Yeah.
Is it on a septic system?
So that falls under the umbrella of the home inspection. They do test the water.
Yes, you can request them to test the water, absolutely, at least here in New York.
Okay,
that's how we do it. And if it's got a septic, you'd do a separate septic inspection, and then you'd do a structural inspection.
I'm aware of the Title V. And the last quick question is, unless somebody already asked this, it's fairly important. I'm wondering for maybe other listeners, what about radon? How prevalent is that in the East Coast, and is that something that a potential buyer should be concerned about?
Radon's pretty prevalent.
Yeah,
in the Northeast.
I would say test it.
Yeah, definitely test it. It's a $50 test, and
it's a part of the inspection also if need be.
Is it?
It is. It's an additional $50, and if you throw it in as a whole package, then they give you a discount.
Okay.
So I would definitely test it, whether or not you're utilizing the space that it's usually being tested in the basement.
Yeah.
Even if you're not using the basement for living space, it's good to have that knowledge because you will eventually resell the home, and if there is high radon, it's 4.0 pictorials or higher, you need to get a remediation system in there.
Okay, let's go to Greg in Beacon. Greg, you're on.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. This is kind of a disclosure issue from the seller's point of view. We live in a very old house that is in Beacon, which is in a designated historic overlay district. And the city makes it really difficult to do any modifications to a house, aside from the ethical and, you know, moral standpoint. What is our legal obligation to a buyer to disclose the, you know, the city's restrictions on modifying this house? And it's begging to be enlarged, but we don't think that would really be allowed.
Okay.
You know, I don't. I'm not aware of any requirement. New York State has something called the New York State Property Condition Disclosure Statement, which is 4 pages and has a list of about 50 questions on there. I don't think there is a question on there pertaining to historic district. But in addition, the seller really has no obligation to disclose anything other than hidden defects. And since this is public information, it's available at town hall. I don't believe you're required to disclose it.
It'll be up to the buyer or the buyer's agent.
Buyer beware at this point.
Exactly. I mean, we sell homes in Albany that are in historic districts. We tell people they're in historic districts, but there's no formal disclosure that I'm aware of.
Let's go ahead, Renata.
I was just going to say, if I was listing the house, I would probably disclose it. It's going to come out eventually.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's out there.
You could just
and
mention it, right?
It will come out. Oh. It will come out eventually.
It could be a selling point, to be honest with you. I mean, some people, especially if it's an older home and it's well preserved, they want to know it's in a historic district so that other homes around it are going to be maintained as well. So it could be a benefit.
Michelle in Wilbraham. Michelle, you're on.
Yes, my husband and I signed a contract to purchase a property in Saratoga Springs, and 2 weeks before the closing date, the seller wanted to back out because he broke up with his girlfriend.
Ouch.
We are in litigation right now, and I'm just wondering what is the likelihood that we will get the property? I mean, my lawyers have told me what will happen, but I just want to hear it from somebody else.
From what I believe and what I've been taught, the seller doesn't have to sell. The seller at any point could back out. It's their home. It's unfortunate what has happened. I think the chances of you actually winning that property and getting that seller to move out are very slim.
But if it's a very unique property, if it's a condo and there's not many of them of this size, and mm-hmm. we looked for 3 years and did everything, signed an agreement, and if you can prove that it is it's not just a home that you can find another home somewhere else, but it's a unique property.
Huh. But still owned by the...
Yeah.
What did the attorney say?
Our attorney feels very confident.
Well, that's great.
You know...
Because of those precise reasons that we looked for over 3 years, we did everything the seller wanted, you know, paid full price,
yeah.
closed. We were going to close much sooner. I got a mortgage in like 4 weeks.
Is there anything in the contract that says the seller has a right to cancel at any time?
No.
Oh.
He had every opportunity. You know how you were saying earlier that you have the 3-day thing, then you have the next thing.
Yeah.
So then we had a month after there was the time of the essence thing. And then now because it's, you know, my understanding from the litigating attorney is that it's a contract and
yeah.
it's a signed contract. And if contracts weren't
hey, Michelle,
to be upheld, then everyone could walk away.
I'm so sorry, Michelle, but we're out of time. Time is of the essence okay. here as well. And we appreciate your call. And Renata Lewis, how do people find you online?
Online?
Yeah.
Just check out renatashomes.com.
Renatashomes.com.
Renatas homes.com.
Alex.
MonticelloNYS.com.
Well, you two did a great job today. Thank you both for being here. Support comes from Vision XL Eye Care, Lake Katrine, exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now new American-made frames where eyewear is an art. VisionXLEyeCare.com. And Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville, New York. Custom exhibits, interactive kiosks, and commercial casework for special events, museum installations, and trade shows, EmpireExhibits.com. Thanks again to Renata Lewis and Alexander Monticello for being here. Thanks to the great Zach Malloy, our engineer. Yeah, B-plus job. Yes. Your phones were answered by Deb Malik. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow it's Food Friday, and none other than celebrity chef Rick Orlando will be with us. So, now, stand by for news.